Julie sort of drummed it up to be a mystery speaker, but maybe a lot of people turned up because you thought you was going to be have a really great speaker here today. When I said to Jim this morning that I'm going to be speaking in church today, his usual wit sort of came back and said, "I thought you said I was going to be sleeping in church today." So I hope there's no one sleeping in church today, and I hope that there's one or two key points and little gems that in the message today that God has given me that will be takeaways for you today. So I'm going to be talking about patience. Patience is a virtue. Well, because I work in the health system, my inbox and the discussions that we have every day is about patient, the patient journey, the patient care, the things that we do for patients. And because I'm a terrible speller, I often get, you know, sort of patient and patience sort of mixed up. And so that's the challenge that we have today in talking about patience and what the Bible talks to us about that. And there's some other words in the Bible that talks about perseverance and endurance. And depending on which version you're looking at, it could be patient, could be patience, or it could be forbearance, or it could be perseverance and endurance. Well, sometimes we have to wait for things, don't we? Who sort of, you know, gets a little bit sort of agitated when they're waiting for their coffee, and you've got a big long lineup, and so you have to be patient sometimes in everyday life. And, you know, patience is willing to put up with waiting is the sort of definition. Or enduring calmly without complaining or losing self-control. How many on, you know, the telephone when you're waiting for Telstra or you're waiting for electricity company or you're just waiting for a response, you know, sort of... how patient sometimes do we need to be? And sometimes we, you know, put the phone down on speaker to do other things while we're being patient, waiting for these things. And of course, we love the tourists down in this area, don't we? Unless we're on the road trying to get in and out of Maria, we need to be very patient. And sometimes, you know, you sort of get a bit agitated because you need to be at a particular spot at a particular time. And I hate driving in the city because of the traffic and being patient and needing to get to a particular place. And when I dropped Janet off the other day to the cruise, because Janet actually booked to go on the cruise with her sister initially, and then it happened to be that it was the same cruise as people from the church. And Janet was able to, with her challenges with mobility, was able to get a bit of priority to get in front of the line. But the people from the church were way back in the line, and I'm sure that they needed a fair bit of patience waiting to get where they wanted to be. And of course, how patient do we need to be with our family and friends? And sometimes the people that are closest to us, we have to be extra patient. He's talking about putting lids on containers. I figure that, you know, sort of in the cupboard, you take up three times more space if you've got a lid on every container. You know, so, you know, stack the containers on top of each other and put the lids, you know, sort of in the pile. But then, you, of course, you know, the challenge of trying to find the right one. And of course, patience with our brothers and sisters in church. And sometimes people that might sort of say something that maybe rubs us up the wrong way. Or sometimes, you know, we might not get the sort of interaction or discussion that we want to have with our brothers and sisters and people from church. And so sometimes our patience is tested quite often with the family and friends that are closest to us. And of course, children, how much sometimes if you've had children or you're around children, sometimes, you know, that really tests our patience, doesn't it? And sometimes we become impatient. Sometimes we become impatient with ourselves because we know we want to do something or we didn't do something that we wanted to do. and sometimes we become impatient. And I know at work, sometimes we have impatient impatience. Patience is a virtue. And virtue is the quality and behaviours that is doing what is right and avoiding doing what is wrong. And of course, God has been very patient with humankind. The first part of the Bible talks about Adam and Eve and how patient must God have been with Adam and Eve. The people at the time of Noah and the testing of God's patience at the time of Noah. The Tower of Babel. And in Good News Kids, we had the story about Jonah not long ago. God's patience with Jonah. He was off doing the wrong way, the opposite way. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Joppa. Didn't he, Piper? He went the wrong way. Jonah did the wrong thing. But yet God was patient with him. And God was patient with Jonah later on after he spoke to Nineveh and the people converted and changed their ways. But Jonah really wasn't happy with that, and God was very patient with him. And God's patience with the children of Israel. And of course, God's patience with us. And he sent his own son to die on the cross for our sins and being patient with us. Jesus was very patient with the multitudes. And sometimes Jesus just needed to get away. And he went up into the mountain after the feeding of the 5,000. And just to get away from the multitudes that were pressing him. But of course then, the disciples were out on the boat. And the storm came up and Jesus had to go and rescue them. We had about Peter walking on the water. And Jesus didn't have much time to himself, but sometimes he withdrew himself. He withdrew himself to the wilderness. And I also was just thinking this morning that about the paralyzed man. That actual story talks about that people had heard that Jesus had come home. Now, whether he'd come home to the actual town or whether he'd actually gone home to his actual home is a interesting point that some commentators raise. And so here's Jesus potentially in his own home. Everyone's crammed in. And of course, then they take the roof off to let the paralyzed man down. And so that might have been part of the patience that Jesus had with that many people. And of course, the religious leaders who tested him on many occasions and said, you know, how are you going to pay your tax? Why are you healing people on the Sabbath? And they said, look, you know, who is my neighbour? And Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan. And the accusers of Jesus, they falsely accused him, but Jesus didn't say a word. Jesus was so patient with mankind and the people of the day. And I'm sure that Jesus' patience would have been tested with the disciples. The pretty rough sort of motley crowd that came together, but Jesus chose them. But we see in many times in the Bible about Jesus said, ye of little faith. The Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples couldn't stay awake. And the disciples also were trying to brush the children away. And Jesus said, bring the little children to me. And of course, Jesus' patience with us. In James chapter 5, verse 7, it says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance or Job's patience. and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So let's hear about Job, or Job. So it's usually pronounced as Job. And if you have your Bibles with you, you might want to follow on in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. And he had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their home, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. For a period of feasting had run, of course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves to the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered, "From roaming around the earth and going back and forth in it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything that he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, and that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything that he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay any finger." Satan went from the presence of the Lord. One day, Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house. A messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing and the donkeys were grazing. Nearby, the Serbians attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I only am the one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." And still while he was speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I only am the one who escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at their oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they're all dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." Wow. And further down in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, we find that Job was also struck with sores right from the tip of his head to right down to his feet, and they think it was perhaps boils that he had right throughout. And Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with any wrongdoing. And here we have in James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, that actually says, "Have you heard of Job's patience or perseverance? And have you seen what the Lord finally brought about for him?" So after a period of time of testing Job in terms of his faith in God and his patience, he endured, and God blessed him enormously. And the book of Job is quite a difficult book to read, apart from perhaps the first 2 chapters, because Job went through all sorts of challenges in himself, and questioning God, but never losing faith in God. And he said, "Perhaps it would be better if I was never born and never lived." And I think that he was probably quite depressed. He probably went through a period of depression. And So the lessons that we can learn from Job in regards to his patience are absolutely incredible. God blessed Job more than he had in the first place. So God restored all of his animals, in fact, twice as many as he had before. And he had another 10 children. And so he had a very fruitful life and he lived for a long period of time. So God may protect and prosper his people, but he also may allow Satan to test us, to test our patience, to test us by other people getting on our goat and testing us and making us, you know, sort of really angst. He may test us by natural events. You know, we've been through the fires in this area, and of course some people have been really challenged and tested more than others. We've been through floods. We've been through drought. And of course the death of family and friends is a really challenging time for us in terms of our faith in God. And physical ailments and our own health. And Job experienced incredible pain, and it would have been quite a period of time that he had these health challenges, but yet he had patience in God. The things that we have in terms of our possessions, our money, our lifestyle, if they were taken away from us, how would we be? Can we use the example of Job in terms of the everyday things that we have and the test that could be put upon us? Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." What a fantastic example and inspiring opportunity we have to have the patience of Job. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Isn't it fantastic that we can have as many fruits of the Spirit and as much fruit of the Spirit that we possibly could have? And there is no limit, there is no law. There's no ceiling on that at all. But of course, to have patience, I guess a bit like the patience of Job, often there has to be challenges for us to demonstrate that patience. And in Romans chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, which now we stand, and we boast in the hope of glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings." Wow, glory in sufferings. Because we know that sufferings produces perseverance or patience. And patience, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so trials and tribulations and things that don't go right, things that test us to the limit, really challenges us in regards to the patience that we need to have. And James also follows that same sort of theme in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." Pure joy. If we're facing troubles and tribulations, if we're facing health issues, if we're facing family dynamics, if we're facing death, if we're facing health issues, if we're facing troublesome times in our life. Pure joy. Because we know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance or patience. "Let patience finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking everything." Wow. Pure joy if we're getting challenged. drawing deep on our patience and self-control. And the Psalms also talks about patience. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see the fear of the Lord and put their trust in him. It was interesting that the analogy about the water's edge and stepping to the water's edge. But we've then got to take the plunge, haven't we? We've got to get our feet in. We've actually got to take some action. Yes, it's great to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. But if we continue to wait and do nothing, well, then we're not going to be any good to anyone. And so the Lord will open the door at the right time for us and pave the way. I often think about the Paul and Silas. They're in prison. They're singing praises to the Lord. They didn't know what was ahead. They're being patient and they're praising God and relying on him. And the Lord sent an earthquake and opened the prison doors. But did Paul and Silas, you know, sort of hang around? They hung around for a little while, didn't they? But then they took the opportunity to walk through the open doors and go to where people were praying for them. And so we need to take the plunge. We just can't sit back and be patient. Oh, do I need to be patient again? Do I need to wait? We need to be patient, but then we need to take that step forward and take the plunge at the right time. And of course, Peter, he as you said before, he took the plunge, didn't he? He said, Lord, if it's you, I want to come to you on the water. And so he stepped out. And of course, Corinthians 13, the chapter on love. In verse 4 it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. Our oldest boy, Steve, about 8 years ago, just on the day that his wife was in labour with their first child, he said, Dad, he said, just give me some sort of advice, you know, sort of like, what do I need to know? You know, sort of what's the thing that I need to, you know, just know about being a parent? Put me on the spot. And for some reason, I said, patience. You need to be patient. And I have no idea why I said that. But love is patient. And so if we love each other, we know that God loves us because he sent his son to die for us. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. So love is patient and is kind. It does not dishonour others, not self-seeking, not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And to finish off with Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, such as members of one body. You were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing to God with gratitude in your heart. And if we just go back a slide to the first slide there with Colossians, we can see that they're all virtues, as we said before. So that compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And of course, patience, we need to bear one another. We need to forgive one another. And we need to put on love. So Julie, in her email message this week, she said, next time you're feeling disappointed, try to remember God is always working. He is working when you feel him. He's working when you don't even feel him. Remember, feelings aren't only evidenced of the presence of God. If we always felt God, we wouldn't need faith. So while you're waiting, or while you're being patient, remind yourself that God is working. Sometimes our greatest disappointments can lead to God's divine appointments. God may be trying to do something in you before he does something for you. And I just thought that that really resonated with me this week as I was preparing and thinking about the message that God wanted me to share with you this morning about being patient. You know, to become a Christian, it's great that we don't need to be patient. Because God said, or Jesus said, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Whoever believes in me will not perish but have eternal life. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any person being in Christ is a new creation, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And we know that when we become a Christian, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So isn't it just fantastic that we didn't have to wait for that? We didn't have to be patient. God was so patient with us, waiting for us to make the decision to become a Christian and to turn our life over to him. But isn't it just fantastic that we're in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who have trusted Jesus. And if there's anyone here today that hasn't trusted in Jesus, you don't need to be patient. God is patient with you, but you don't need to be patient. You don't need to wait. There's no big hoops that you need to jump through apart from accepting Jesus as your own personal Saviour to save us from our sins. So I hope that there'll be something, I pray that there'll be something in that message today that you can take away for your everyday practical Christian living, and that we can show the light of Jesus through the patience that we have.
Thank you, Craig.
Thanks, Steve.